Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
America needs a tidal wave of the old-time religion.
I have sinned against you.
How dare you!
We have no need to doubt God.
The heart of Babylon is preparing the nations to receive the Antichrist.
I didn't even build that house with money from the church. I built it with money from my book.
I don't make this stuff up.
Repenting of your sin.
It is a moral issue.
They got together and swore a pact to the devil.
I just enjoy seeing people worship, praising God.
Hey everybody, welcome to
Believe It
or Not,
the show where we believe it,
or maybe we don't,
or maybe we're just robots in disguise.
Robots in the thing.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
To be a robot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In disguise.
In disguise, yeah.
I just imagine like a big square, like beep, borp, boop robot with like a little bowler hat and a trench coat trying to fake mustache.
But is the bowler hat like also a weapon?
No, it's like a really little tiny one like perched on the very top and it doesn't really do anything.
That's cute though.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm a human being. And we're all like, okay, XG94.
Yeah.
Sure you are.
Yeah. What's that movie where the guy makes a robot out of a washing machine? It's like a newer movie.
I'm not sure, actually.
It's pretty good. It's a funny one.
Wow. Like, is it Buds and Suds?
Buds and Suds. Yeah. Something like that. Buds and Suds. So I'm kind of late to the game talking about this, but I thought we would talk about the Southern Baptist Convention abuse scandals, which, of course, is fun. The reason I thought of this is because not too long ago, as recording this, they had their annual convention and didn't really solve anything at it.
Have they ever really solved anything?
Not really. They've taken better steps in the last couple years, but they're still a shit organization.
Right.
And I'll take that to the grave with me, unless they stop being a shit organization. But I don't see that happening.
They won't.
Nope. It's Southern Baptist Convention is the largest Baptist group in the United States. One of the largest in the world, maybe the largest in the world, I'd say. Started in 1845 with just good intentions. They wanted to just make the world a better place and just happiness for everybody.
I don't buy that for a second.
No, they started in 1845 because they wanted to own slaves.
Yeah, that sounds more right.
Yeah.
I guess it was good intention to have people as property.
Yeah.
Like that was their intention and they thought it was good.
They thought it was good. Good enough to split from the rest of the Baptists and start the Southern Baptists.
Mm-hmm.
It's now not just in the South. It's all over America.
So the name is wrong.
So the name is wrong.
Or is it just like, that's the Southern style?
It's the Southern style, like Southern style chicken. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
There are a lot of black members, but they're still pretty racist in a lot of ways. They've been called out many times for the racism, even though they're racist against their own congregants a lot of the time. But we're not necessarily here to talk about the racism. We're here to talk about the sexual abuse.
Right.
So, it's a little different as a convention, like the Southern Baptist, than other churches as far as hierarchy goes. It's not like you have to follow a bunch of these like things, but there are key things you have to follow in order to be a member of the church. Mm-hmm. But it's not like they give you topics to preach about, and it's not like, yeah, there's certain things that it is a little bit more loose than other denominations, but it's also very, very conservative. So, mm-hmm. especially lately, you can get kicked out for doing non-conservative things.
Like kicked out of the convention itself?
Yeah, like okay. of the denomination. Like if you, like, yeah, if you affirm gay people, go to jail.
This is a weird thing for me.
Yeah.
What's, okay, so why do they need to be a part of the convention, first of all?
Yeah.
And then secondly, if they are kicked out of it, what's to stop them from just preaching the same shit that they were doing anyway?
And they don't stop. And that's the thing.
Okay,
like,
so then what's the point of the convention?
There's
is it just lobbying?
It's lobbying, it's resources, it's okay. like you have a body to go to if there's internal issues, and you have like
oh, but so it's they can like cover it up for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Like it's so when I was a kid, or actually the denomination ended when I was an adult, but the church I went to growing up, the denomination died. Basically, that it was part of, but they beforehand, when they were like on their last breath, they joined with another denomination so that the churches would have, you know, support or whatever when they were done. But the church I went to decided not to join the denomination because they realized they didn't actually need that outside support, and people were upset okay. about that because, yeah, they say like there's less accountability when you're not in a denomination, but
I mean, it feels like there's less accountability when you are part
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, it really does.
I mean, it feels like it doesn't matter. It's, yeah. You know, six of one, half dozen of another kind yeah. of thing.
It's weird, too, because like it's a very conservative organization, but you have churches like Independent Fundamentalist Baptists who are like all independently run. But they think that the SBC is like this liberal organization that's sold out to the world, but very much not that at all.
So are they like uber conservative then, those ones?
Yeah, they're really conservative. Okay.
Well, I mean, there's always going to be those yeah. fringes that push the things way too far.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. And they're, yeah, there's a lot of abuse in independent mm-hmm. fundamentalist Baptist churches as well. And yeah, they just don't have anybody to report it to at all. They don't have anybody to go to who will cover it up for 30 years. Houston Chronicle and the San Antonio Express News in 2019
okay.
brought out the accusations against church leadership. But it had been brewing for a while, and there had been reports of abuse for a long time. There was a interview last year that came out with the then president, who may have been reelected this year, who was saying, yeah, we heard rumors of abuse for a long time, and unfortunately we didn't do enough about it, but we're doing stuff now. And it's like, well, why didn't you do anything about it? It's like, these are your children, your women. Like, what are you, like, your congregants, what are you doing, like, just sweeping it under the rug?
Because they don't care.
No, they don't.
Of course they don't. And they're just saying that they're going to do it so because an election's coming up.
Yeah.
The same thing happens in politics all the time. It's gross. And yeah. people still vote for these dipshits. Yeah. And they win.
Yeah.
Because of uneducated, uninformed, just sad people who hear these buzzwords and think, oh, they're doing better. And then yeah. they'll complain about the other guys being terrible like 30 years ago. And you're like, what about this guy right now?
Yeah, exactly.
Who's destroying everything?
Yeah.
Do something.
Yeah. One of the biggest abusers, and there's a lot more abusers than him, but one of the biggest ones was a guy named Daryl Gilliard. And he's had many, many reports about him being a sexual predator, accused of, like, you know, he yeah. would, you know, groom people and offer them jobs and then assault them in the office and stuff like that. And when people came forward, it was like, oh no, don't worry about it, don't say anything, we'll look into this, but just keep your mouth shut for now because we don't want to embarrass mm-hmm. the church. But
and then, I hate that excuse, we yeah. don't want to embarrass the church.
Yeah,
right.
And
so you're gonna protect a predator?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's a little worse than being a little embarrassed.
Yeah. Exactly. And this is from the 80s, and he's still a pastor. He's on the registered sex offender list, but he's still pastoring a church. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't stop. Let's see, in 2000, a letter responding to a pastor seeking advice about preventing sexual abuse. So they suggested holding a lunch and 1 hour awareness seminar with your church. And that'll stop it.
To stop sexual abuse.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I should mention a lot of this, it's from Religion News Network. They did a timeline of kind of breaking down how everything happened. Most of what I do, what I'm talking about here from the timeline will be from religionnews.com. Mm-hmm. But there's a bunch of other sources too, like I do pull from the New York Post and the New Yorker, as well as I think the Washington Post. So some accusations came out in 2004, and here is a quote from a lawyer for the SBC. The convention has no spiritual right to defrock a minister, and noted that the name of the person in question was not found in the list of SBC ministers. We regret that Mrs. Brown's expresses. We pray that Mrs. Brown can find peace. So they don't have any spiritual right to defrock a minister. What's the point of you then?
Also, doesn't the very act of what the minister was doing defrock them? Shouldn't that just be an automatic, like...
Yeah.
How can you be a quote-unquote holy person and then commit horrible, heinous acts like that?
Yeah, and this was from a report by Krista Brown, and there was a 25-page report about her being abused by a youth pastor when she was 16.
Wow.
2006... she had started a survivors network and worked with other people abused by pastors and priests in different organizations to rally for change. Also, after the big Catholic Church revelations in the early 2000s, 2002, they passed a resolution at their annual convention on sexual integrity, and it called on ministers to be above reproach morally, and urges churches to discipline those guilty of any sexual abuse in obedience to Matthew 18, as well as any as to cooperate with civil authorities in prosecution of those cases. So they put it down to the church level as opposed to taking responsibility at their level.
Right.
Meanwhile, they have a list of pastors that there's been accusations against. They're keeping this list the whole time, mm-hmm. but they're just not sharing it.
So, wait, what are they saying, any sexual abuse in obedience to Matthew 18, 6 to 17? What is that?
Let's see here.
Because it feels like, because this is all just like fluff without actually doing anything.
Oh, yeah.
It's just PR.
Because, they're urging pastors to be above reproach, but like, what does that mean? Don't sexually assault people, please. Like,
yeah. There's you no should accountability be above there. Reproach, but if you're not, we don't care.
If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire.
So this is basically just saying you're better off being maimed than being a raper.
Yeah.
Like what is this trying to say? It's not saying anything.
Yeah. It's not about accountability. It's about
It's just saying don't do it because it's bad.
And you'll burn in hell if you don't.
Yeah,
you don't
it is
stop.
Bad. Don't yeah. do it. You shouldn't do it. You shouldn't need to say like, oh, follow this thing in the Bible.
Yeah.
Maybe if you stop letting them get away with it, then it wouldn't happen all the time.
This fucker, August Bodo, was the SBC president at one point, but he said, mm-hmm. he referred to that as an adversarial posture.
Right, it's adversarial to hold people accountability for sexual abuse and assault.
Yeah.
Yeah, real adversarial.
Yeah, he called it a satanic scheme to completely distract us from evangelism.
Oh, fuck you.
Yeah, cool dude alert. Wade Burleson was a Southern leader. He was calling for a database of the sexual predators to be released, and he did this for many years and kept saying, "Release the list, please."
Yeah, no shit.
There was one pastor they were talking about, First Baptist Church in, I can't remember the name of the town, but it was a big, huge church. And then he moved on to another church after, like, accusation after accusation after accusation. The convention knew about all the accusations, and they still gave him a glowing recommendation to the new church, where he went on to abuse more people. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a cycle of abuse that is backed and supported by the church.
Yep.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, yeah. Everything they did up until 2021 has basically been trying to look good and look like you're against any like abuse, but not actually doing anything. And calling, yeah, they would call the accusers like attention seekers, and they would say they were distracting from the ministry. And
you know what's distracting from the ministry? The sexual abuse from your pastors.
Yep.
This is, fuck this.
Yeah. In 2013, Bodo tells the executive committee staffer who had assembled lists of ministry accused of sexual abuse to send the list to Gunther, as they may need to be produced in litigation. So they had the, we know for sure they had this list by at least 2013, and have just did nothing with it. 2017, former SBC Vice President Paul Pressler is sued by former assistant who alleges one-time Texas appeal court judge sexually abused him over the course of several decades, starting when the plaintiff was in his mid-teens. And yeah, went on probably to abuse more teens. 2018, in March, Frank Page, now president and CEO of the executive committee, announces his retirement. Later the same day, the committee chairman says he learned from Page that the retirement was precipitated by a morally inappropriate relationship in the recent past.
Okay.
Yeah, in May, former SBC President Paige Patterson is fired from his leadership role at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary after new evidence surges of an alleged rape cover-up. Yeah. Yeah, these are... So I think presidents serve like a one-year term.
Right.
With them, so there are a lot of former presidents. But... and way too many of them are sexual abusers and people on that committee. In 2018, Burleson, Wade Burleson, the good guy, again proposed at the annual Southern Baptist Convention that the convention establish a predator database in response to the motion. New SBC president J.D. Greer, oh, I just used him in a recent video, and the Southern Baptist Convention Executive Committee announces the formation of a sexual abuse presidential study group. The working group will consider how Southern Baptists at every level can take discernible action to respond swiftly and compassionately. Compassion to the abused, but to incidents of abuse. Again, it's like passing it down to the churches. And oh yeah, that's the guy who said that we should kill all cats.
Wait, we should kill all cats
in the recent video. So the video I released is about like how Jesus' death makes no sense. But he said, why does God demand sacrifice? It's not like when you want your sins forgiven, you don't have to kill your cat. And then he's like, unless you want to, I'm okay with that. And it's like, fuck you.
What?
Stay away from my cat.
Okay.
Yeah. And 2019, yeah, that's when the Houston Chronicle and San Antonio Express News published an abuse of faith, an investigative series reporting that 220 Southern Baptist church leaders and volunteers have been convicted or pleaded guilty to sexual misconduct. So that's just the ones who've been convicted in the past two decades.
Wow.
Overall, they find about 380 Southern Baptists who faced allegations from more than 700 victims. Southern Baptist leaders vow to improve how churches address this behavior.
And these are just the ones that were reported.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Take that for what it is.
In June, during the SBC annual meeting, Southern Baptist President J.D. Greer leads a litany of lament during a 45-minute period of prayer and planning at the annual meeting over what he called a crisis of sexual abuse.
I don't think it's a crisis if it's been happening for 30 years.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it stops being a crisis and it starts just being part of the normalcy of your organization.
Yep.
So maybe you need to re-examine that.
Yeah, exactly. On June 12th, 2019, during their annual meeting, SBC delegates who assembled that year in Birmingham, Alabama, approved a resolution condemning sex abuse and establishing a special committee to investigate sex abuse, which will make it easier for SBC churches to be expelled from the convention. J.D. Greer, president of the Southern Baptist Convention and pastor of the Summit Church in Durham, North Carolina, called the move a defining moment. Ronnie Floyd echoed his remark by saying a very, very significant moment in the history of the Southern Baptist Convention. Yeah, it is significant, but it should have happened a lot earlier. Yeah. It's almost too little too late, but I mean, you can never not do it.
Like you can... Well, I don't even know if it's even really that great. It's
yeah.
Like, oh, we just have a committee in case something happens.
Yeah, that's true.
You're not
yeah.
really doing anything.
That's
and
true.
It's not really yeah. showing any efficacy in what it actually is.
Yeah.
Although, again, it just feels like more PR bullshit.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how this committee's worked. I don't know.
Yeah, because it wasn't until 2021 that they actually like started a real report with an outside consultant. And that's what you need with these. You can't do it yourself. You can't just have your own committee that's doing stuff. Mm-hmm. You have to have outside people looking right. into it, and you have to give them full rein. Like what happened at Liberty University, they hired the outside person, and then when they didn't like the results, they fired them. But there was enough outrage that they unfired them and released the report. But
yeah, that's pretty fucked.
Yeah. 2021, Christa Brown started the calls for an investigation, Truth and Justice Commission for Survivors of Abuse. And in the annual meeting in Nashville in June of 2021, messengers overwhelmingly approved a motion created a task force to direct a third-party investigation of the executive yeah. committee handling of sexual abuse allegations. In October, the executive committee voted in favor of waiving privileges, allowing for a more comprehensive investigation by Guidepost Solutions. Okay, Guidepost is the organization that did the research.
Right, okay.
Yeah. During executive committee meetings in 2021, some members argued against waiving attorney-client privilege, which would give investigators access to records of conversations on legal matters among the committee's members and staff. They said doing so went against the advice of the convention lawyers and could bankrupt the SBC by exposing it to lawsuits.
I mean, that's an interesting kind of thing, because I do understand the attorney-client
yeah.
confidentiality thing. But at the same time, just like, what are you guys talking about
yeah.
that you're worried?
Yeah, exactly.
If it's so much that it's going to bankrupt the SBC, then you might be fucked.
Yeah.
I feel like even just by saying that you're worried about it in that context is something that I'm like, maybe you shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have just said you don't want to, you know... It's not right to waive that attorney-client privilege, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Without saying that it's going to bankrupt the SBC.
Yeah, exactly. That's the part where it's like you're more worried about the money. Yeah, that
yeah.
makes sense.
Well, I'm also just saying, like, if you're worried that it's going to bankrupt the SBC, then there's probably some bad shit
yeah.
that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Breathe in, breathe out. Visa's advanced AI looks at over 500 data points on transactions so you can shop without thinking about fraud. Visa, security looks good on you.
Well, Ronnie Floyd, who was, this guy, he was like, our priority cannot be the latest cultural crisis.
What?
Referring to like the Me Too movement and things like that, of like, oh, everybody's so upset that we have people out here abusing. That can't be our priority. Our priority probably evangelism or making sure that women can't preach.
Well, I mean, to be fair, these fuckwits think that, you know, we're all going to, it's the end times and we just got to convert as many people as possible.
Yeah.
So to them, sexual abuse and all this shit doesn't matter. So I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
For this fucking piece of shit.
Mm-hmm. And so in February, February of 2022, they reach a settlement with Jennifer Lyle, an abuse survivor whose story was mishandled when she came forward in 2019 after telling Baptist Press of her abuse she experienced for years by a former Southern Baptist Seminary professor. Yeah, it was characterized as a morally inappropriate relationship.
I love the euphemisms that they use for all this stuff. Rather than sexually abused or assaulted or, you know, took advantage of or anything like that, they say morally inappropriate relationship, which puts more of the onus on the victim here, saying like, well, they were part of this relationship.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was their that choice all, to be there. And it's like, no.
No.
It was... It wasn't.
No, it really wasn't. Yeah, it's... Yeah, they do that all the time. Like, yeah, inappropriate relationship with an underage girl. No, that's called rape. Mm-hmm. That's just, like, what it is.
Yep. Grooming, abuse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2022, May 22nd of 2022, a 209-page report was released by Guidepost Solutions, an independent firm contracted by the SBC. And that detailed that SBC leaders had stonewalled and disparaged clergy, sex abuse survivors for nearly two decades. It also listed the named cases that involved the admission, confession, guilty plea, conviction, judgment, judgment sentencing, and registered sex offenders. It didn't include cases that did not relate to sexual abuse, nor cases that ended in acquittal. So, yeah, it's even more abuse. The report listed more than 700 entries within the parameters. Some of the information in the report has been redacted to protect minors and others indicated. Yeah. That's awful.
There you go. The report also stated that known abusers were allowed to keep their positions without informing their current church or congregation. Yeah, and that's why you have all these things happening again and again and again.
Yeah.
Because one, you let them keep their jobs, and two, you don't tell their new congregations about the past.
Yeah.
And then the same shit happens over again.
Yeah. And they didn't release the names until this year, so they finally did release the names, but it took another year before they released the names of the people that were involved. So, great job doing the bare minimum from the Southern Baptist Church. I believe they're still considered the... number one, like, most attended denomination in America, besides Catholics. So it's, but they're the number one Protestant denomination. And, but it is dwindling a lot. So I think the numbers now are the lowest they've been since the 1970s.
Good.
Yeah. And keeps dropping. So that was the number one concern this year at the convention in June. So a couple weeks ago. That let's see here, yeah. So, and then this year, their concern. I mean, there was some stuff about abuse that was brought up and some resolutions made, but mostly this year, their issue was no more women pastors. So they already didn't allow women pastors, but now they're being very strict and kicking out churches that have any women who. In a pastoral role.
Yeah, we won't kick you out if you abuse and sexually assault and take advantage of minors or your congregation. But yeah. If you're a woman, you're out.
Yeah. And it's,
you know,
like...
You know how, like, fucking backwards that is?
Yeah. It's like... So Rick Warren went up there and he's like... So his church was kicked out recently. He retired, and then it was a couple that took over being pastor. So it's still the man is the head pastor, but his wife preaches sometimes, and she's also on staff. And so they were kicked out of the convention because of that. And he went in there and argued, but one of his arguments is that there's still, like, a man in charge of her. She's still, like, and that's another thing, too, is, like, yeah, like, even the people who are less sexist are still sexist as shit. But, it's the whole, like, they're getting swept up in this anti-woke ideology too. And people are really freaking out about, it's going to go woke and it's going to go, too liberal. And they're worried that the Southern Baptist Church is going down this road. And part of it is the report comes out and they're like, oh yeah. So now we're not abusing people. And we're falling into this Me Too woke nonsense. It's like, no, it's like, we don't want abuse anymore.
I just find it gross that so many people are being like, oh, if we're reporting abuse and we don't allow abuse, that means we're woke.
Yeah.
And that's bad for some reason. It's just like, what are you talking about?
Well, it's distracting from
clearly you people want to be, you know, you want this shit to happen if you're so, like, thinking that this is a bad thing.
Oh,
it's wild.
Well, it always goes down to, like, oh, well, you know, it's a slippery slope, you know, with
It's not.
It's not. Nope. You're just calling these people out. And, yeah, people always do, like, whenever I comment on something like that in a video, I always get comments about, like, well, women lie all the time. It's like, maybe there's, like, a small fraction.
People lie all
the time. Yeah.
What does that have to do with your pastors sexually abusing people?
Exactly. Yeah.
And if by some weird chance, even let's say even a third of them were lies, right?
Yeah.
Out of 700, right? That's still way too much abuse.
Yeah. And it's like the issue is as well that they aren't looking into it at all.
Yeah.
Like they were just sweeping it under the rug and saying, don't say anything, we'll take care of this, and then do nothing and mm-hmm. then recommend them to another church. And there was one story I heard about a youth volunteer who was volunteering at one church, got arrested for abusing one of the boys. Spent some time in jail, was on the sex offender list, and then got out and just went to another Baptist church.
Well, that's the other thing, too. They're saying things like women lie.
Yeah.
How many of the people being abused are children or young boys?
Exactly.
So that argument kind of falls flat when you actually look at that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I was looking at...
Not that it was an argument to begin with, and then it falls flat just by you fucking saying it.
Yeah.
It shows what an ignorant piece of trash you are, but yes.
And it was like, so I was looking up this church before you came in because just reading about this stuff reminded me of it. But like, I've talked about this multiple times where a family member, they were going to a church. And so my one family member was dating somebody when she was a teenager. And when she was dating him, they started going to his church for the youth group. They would go to his church youth group and her church youth group. And but double dipping. But at the boyfriend's church youth group, the youth pastor was abusing the boys. Mm. And so they reported him. That church fired him. And then this guy started showing up at my family member's church youth group as a volunteer. They just let him volunteer immediately, no background check, which I think is insane. And even though, actually, if they did have background check, it wouldn't have come up because the church fired him, but they didn't report it to the police, so they didn't even do their full diligence there. But so they let him volunteer. My family member reported it to the church, and they used Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life. They were studying it as a church, and they said that it says in there, it talks about forgiveness, and we need to learn to forgive. It's like, You can't learn to protect children first. Like,
What? Again, so many of these people weaponize this idea of forgiveness just to allow predators to continue being predators.
And in that case, too, the youth pastor, because this guy came on as a volunteer, and there was a youth pastor on staff, and he took my family member's side, and he got pushed out of the church because he didn't want this guy volunteering with the kids.
Yeah.
And so the abuser won out and ended up becoming the youth pastor.
Wow, that's really fucked up.
So I was just searching that church, and it looks like everybody on staff there has just been hired in the last couple of years. So there must have been some big upheaval because everybody on there is like starting in 2020. And it's like, okay, well, at least everybody's gone. But still, like, it's disgusting.
Yeah, we don't know what this person did in the meantime.
Yeah, we don't know what church this guy's at, or I do want to look into it more, but I have to wade into a little, because I don't want to like go to somebody who's been abused and like, what's his name, where does he live, but also like I kind of want to look into it. And so it's all disgusting. And then they miss the mark even when they hit the mark. Even when they do the right thing, they're still missing the mark in with the SBC, because it's too little too late. And again, it's good they take action, but should have been done a long time ago. Any other thoughts on abuse or this abuse?
It's the same shit every time. It's the same thing where so much of it is just institutions and systems of power kept in place to allow abusers to do things over and over again with no consequences.
Yes.
And they cover it up from the people who are being abused, and they cover it up from people who are future victims. And it's just the cycle continues. And as much as they want to wave their hands and say, oh, it's bad and we're doing everything we can, they haven't done fucking shit.
Yeah.
And they continue not to do anything about it. And they continue to just protect predators. And it's disgusting. And this is one of the reasons that I hate organized religion, is because of things like this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Same. And I'm just seeing here, Lifeway Research, the church-affiliated publishing company, suggested that the reason they were losing so many members was because they have better record-keeping now. And they're actually like, it's not that people are leaving because of the abuse. It's like, no, we're getting better at record-keeping, and we realize that these people probably left a long time ago, and we're just starting to see the numbers now.
That's
like,
so stupid.
Yeah.
So dumb.
Yeah.
And the thing is, this isn't unique to the SBC.
No. Oh, not at all. Yeah.
So.
And it's like, even the report is in response to other churches, like in response to the Catholic Church's abuse. And yep. Yeah. So there's a lot of churches doing a lot of shit stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, people point out it's not just churches, but.
No, it's not just churches, but it is a big problem in the churches.
Exactly. And they're the ones that are supposed to be the moral compass.
Well, they're the ones who claim to be the moral compass. They're the ones who have this huge superiority complex. So I feel like the same way, I think, like, they should be held at a higher standard. Same way as, like, I think police should be held at a higher standard rather than this weird lower standard that they mostly get.
Exactly. Yeah.
But here we are. This is the world we live in, so.
Speaking of bad people, do you want to talk about some good people?
Yeah.
Let's talk about our patrons.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Wow. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our Bible study.
Thank you all so much for coming today. Welcome to another blessed day where Trevor and I are here to study everybody's favorite book, the New York Times number one bestseller of all time, even before New York was a thing.
The Holy Bible. Is it older than New York?
Is it the Bible or the Holy Bible? What's the official title?
I think the official title is Humanity as Seen from the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Which author section do you put the Bible in?
Fiction.
No, I meant more like...
Oh, yeah, author. I think it'd be under G for God.
G for God, yeah.
Or Y for Yahweh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Is it like Yahweh God? God Yahweh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like God's... Yeah. But we have some people to pray for and to thank. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah. I have a huge prayer request for Sharon and for Ariel. And also a huge prayer request for Alan and for Casper and also Carla.
Oh, so many thank yous. Praise him, raise him.
Praise him, raise him.
Amen. Mm. Amen.
Amen.
It's nice to have an affirmation word like amen.
Amen.
Just feels so many
it's
things.
So amen. Many. Yeah.
It's thank you. It's yes.
Yeah.
It's I understand. I see it.
It's hell yeah.
It is. Well, we're not allowed to say that here.
All right.
No, we're in Bible study.
Right.
Unless it's in scripture.
Right.
Or relating to.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Do you have any prayer requests?
Mm, I do. I have a very special prayer request today for our good, good friend, Erica. And Erica has been doing so much good work out there, you know, coming to these Bible study sessions, going to church, volunteering, helping the people out there. But the one thing that Erica just hasn't been doing is hasn't been coming to our second Bible study course that we have on Thursday nights. We do this one every Sunday. We do one on Tuesday, but they haven't been coming to the Thursday night one. Mm. And it's really been getting me down because we need to boost those numbers. And Erica knows this. Now, Erica knows that we want to get people involved and we want to have everybody there. But Erica's presence, it's just not not giving it 100%. We're getting 75, and we need 100%. So.
Yeah, and honestly, it's the same thing with Mark. I have a huge prayer request from Mark. Yeah. Mark's been volunteering with the youth mm-hmm. group and the children's mm-hmm. group yeah. and been helping to build the sets for the Easter play and yeah. the Christmas play. Mm-hmm. And Mark has been volunteering with the nursery and yeah. volunteering with handing out programs at the beginning yeah, of the yeah, service. Yeah. But recently I asked him to serve at the ladies' dinner, mm-hmm. and he had a prior engagement. That's, and it's like, what's your priority?
You know
here,
what's
Mark?
Funny? That's actually reminding me. I have another prayer request for Alone on Mars, who's, you know, has been putting 60, 65, 70 volunteer hours a week helping out in the church. But we asked them if they could host the bingo night for us. You know, yeah. we're trying to raise a little extra money for the next church bingo night
yeah.
so we can keep that going. And they said, I'm not able to. I'm already doing a different thing yeah. for the church that night. I'm already going to be doing the lighting for the play that we have going on there. And it's just like, you got to figure out where your priorities are. Mm. You know, you need to put more time into this. Like, we're here all the time, and you need to be here as well.
Yeah. And speaking of priorities, we have Richard, who's been faithfully giving 10% mm-hmm. of their income. Yeah. Every week for the last 30 years. Mm-hmm, and recently they got a big bonus at work, and they gave 10% of it. Sure. Mm. Amen. Thank you for that.
Amen. Thank you.
But also that bonus, the full bonus, could go really far to pay for very needed things at the church.
That's
like,
right. New bingo dabbers for bingo night.
Mm-hmm, and the pastor needs a new car.
Mm-hmm, new costumes for the plays.
Yes, and the pastor needs a new espresso machine.
Yep, and new Gucci Bible jackets.
Yes.
For the Bibles.
And so, and also, speaking of priorities, mm-hmm. Richard has yet to leave the church in their will.
Yep. I'm saying that to everyone here today. If you're not putting the church in your will, if you're not leaving all of your earthly possessions to the people here who are helping you get your otherworldly possessions in order, your soul, then I don't know what you're doing. Because we're just trying to save you and everyone you care about. And if you don't want to help us, how can we help you, right?
Exactly.
The Lord helps those who help themselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the Lord works in mysterious dark corners.
It's interesting that we can say these things about what the Lord wants, yet still say that he works in mysterious ways and we don't know how he works.
That's to fill the gaps.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's to block out all accountability.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, everybody. Should we do a Christian rock lyric?
Let's do a Christian rock lyric.
Can't you see you're not making Christianity better? You're just making rock and roll worse.
So this song, it's a Christian rock song from, I believe, the 80s by a band called Jet Circus.
It's not a bad name.
Yeah, it's pretty good, actually.
From the album Step On It.
Step On It. Okay. And the song is called Victory Dance. And I figured, because I'm sure a lot of SBC churches still don't allow dancing. So I figured this one is just a bad song. And it goes as follows. The king is coming, riding on the white horse. Are you ready for the meeting in the sky? Search and find. Don't get left behind when he takes his people away. Hear what I say. Dance, dance, dance. Glorious dance. Dance, dance, dance. The victory dance. There's a rumor going around that the Messiah's in town. Look out so you won't be fooled. A flash of light from left to right. Gonna light up the sky for you and I. Dance, 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 a glorious dance. Dance, 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 the victory dance. You know, baby, we're happy to be born again. The vines of the spirit are something to be swinging in.
Are you sure this song isn't just about Gandalf returning?
That's true. It's about Gandalf the White.
Gandalf the White. Yeah. That's what it sounds like.
Hallelujah, there's an open door to the second floor where the party's going on. We can dance all night in the house of light. We don't have to wait. Let's celebrate. Dance, 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 a glorious dance. Dance, 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 the victory dance. You know, baby, we're happy to be born again. The vines of the spirit are something to be swinging in.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
This one's pretty funny.
And a lot about dancing. It'd be better if it was a dance song. It's more like a hair metal song.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Or a hair Christian rock song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's the 80s for
you. Yeah. It'd be better if it was like, you know, that junior, senior song.
No.
Dance. But you know that. You know songs. Dance songs?
No.
What if it was like that?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be catchy. Dance, dance, dance. Dance, dance, dance.
Well, folks, dance, dance, dance. Continue to dance and get rid of abuse.
Yeah, get rid of it.
Get out of there. Love you.
Bye.
Work, 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 Sky Moon.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar!
Uh-oh, it's a rope man. They must be washing windows.
Oh, yeah. Are they our window?
Well, I saw a rope there.
That's oh, all. Yeah. Okay.
Rope?
That was supposed to be last week. They're going to see us naked.
Should we flash our booties at
them?
I think
we have to.
No, I don't want to do that. That's harassment.
Right.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.